This is Joe Franczyk, Editor-in-Chief of Directions Magazine. I caught up with U.S. Secretary of the Interior Dirk Kempthorne and Director of the U.S. Geological Survey Mark Myers following Secretary Kempthorne's remarks at the Senior Executive Summit of the ESRI Users Conference. I asked both of them specifically about the recent announcement that Secretary Kempthorne made about releasing 35 years of archived Landsat data into the public domain and free of charge, as well as a follow-up question on the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge and offshore drilling that has come into the news recently regarding the United States' dependency on foreign oil.
So let me just ask you specifically, so just to make sure I'm clear about the announcement. It's 35 years of the archived data on the web at when, and does it apply to the Landsat data continuity mission?
By the end of the year, all of it will be on there.
Okay.
Through the AROS data center and their servers there, but we're working an arrangement with Google Earth so they can pull the data as they need it too. And basically anyone's going to be able to pull the data, but the big servers will sit at AROS, at the picture you saw in the Secretary's video.
So, but it does not apply to the Landsat, the follow-on missions?
It will. Well, it's a data policy call. So as we launch new satellites, presumably historical data from those satellites, it'll apply to as well. So again, we don't expect the data continuity mission to be launched till around the 2012 timeframe, late 2011, 2012. So it's the policy regardless of which satellite.
Yeah, just add one other thing just to close the loop. This 35 years of archival information is not modeling. It is empirical data. It is actual. And so often for people making decisions, they then determine they want to have a baseline. All right. So here's our baseline. What have the trends or changes been? This gives you, at any point during those 35 years, a very defined baseline.
We're also releasing change detection tools with it. So someone can go back and look at, you saw an example from Maryland of the change in urban development and the example from Las Vegas. Well, there are tools that each 30-meter pixel through the National Land Cover data set is assigned an ecosystem classification. So you can see now, you can model these change detection tools, is the forest changing? Is desert going to scrubland? And now you'll be able to go backtrack and do that for time slices within that 35 years where we've done these interpretive land cover data sets. So it's a very powerful tool. It shows you how much impermeable surface,
so
runoff change.
So you're releasing a data model for that ecosystem?
We are releasing tools, web-enabled tools, that allow you to look at changes over time of that data, not just the data set itself. So decision support tools are an important part of what's being developed in addition to the data. So it's kind of a full suite of things. And all, when we do that, we try to make all that information public as well. So it's open source, public, good metadata associated with it. So it's authoritative information.
Let me ask you quickly, just to change the subject a little bit, about ANWR and offshore drilling. How much information are you giving policymakers now about that, and in what form?
Particularly, you want to talk about the circumarctic assessment that we just released.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the GS does all its work and makes it publicly available. So there's no advocacy of position. It goes through a peer review process before it's released. So when we do an assessment, we just did the Circumarctic, it was using the standard methodology throughout. So it's an apples-to-apples comparison of values. It incorporates the latest drilling data that we have available. Now, not all of that, the GS doesn't have access to confidential data in these data sets. So we don't necessarily have all the data, but all the data we can get publicly, and in some cases, parties share data. Like Norwegian shared a lot of data with us, for example, when we did. So internationally, we go out, and that gives you a much better picture of what the oil potential is in the Arctic, and actually between country boundaries, independent of those country boundaries. When they did the assessment, they were geological provinces based on the geology characteristics, not the political boundaries. So it was intentionally done that way, so we didn't politicize anything, so we get a full assessment of the amount of oil and gas. At the same time, we are working for the Secretary and in conjunction with the Fish and Wildlife Service, the State of Alaska, on the ecological changes we're seeing on the North Slope. So we're monitoring polar bears, we're looking at walruses, we're looking at overall ecosystem health in Alaska, and we're also putting a lot of effort into understanding climate change. and the effects of climate change. So we're overlaying these various data sets so the Secretary can get a true picture of what's under the ground, but also what's happening on top of the ground. So he can make his policy decisions with a solid base of information, and that the information he releases and he makes his decision on is available to everybody.
Thanks for listening to this brief interview with Secretary of the Interior Dirk Kempthorne and U.S. Geological Survey Director Mark Myers. It was recorded August 3rd, 2008. This is Joe Francica. Thanks for joining us on Directions Magazine, and be sure to tell a friend.